Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, this is Anne Ravel Petcher, your host for Wilmington Business Radio, and a gorgeous and sunny, long-awaited spring day. We have a great show today with two different businesses here who are really the underpinnings of a lot of what's happening business-wise in this town. We're really excited first to welcome Alexis Hines and Sherry Porter of Seacoast Staffing. Hey, you guys.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And we have Andrew Gray, one of the co-founders of Andrew Gray. Isn't that funny? Of Talo Gray, Christoph. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. I'm going to start here with a few questions for Andrew. Give you guys a little minute to get used to the sort of microphones hanging out. And, I was over at an opening of your new space the other day, Andrew, and I was so impressed when I walked in the door. I thought, these are the coolest guys I have met in a long time. You're really kind of the new Wilmington, if you will. One of the leading digital marketing and creative services groups in town. We find you everywhere. Tell me a little bit about how you got started.
Well, basically, the firm is a merger of two firms. So we're only about a year and a couple months old now. Mm. But when I graduated from business school, I connected with a friend of mine who had been running a small web design shop out of his home for about 10 years.
Here in Wilmington?
In Wilmington, yeah. Cool. And when we started, I literally went over to his house every day and worked out of his living room. And I had a desk behind his bar in his living room. So it was, and the desk, we still have it at the office if anyone wants to see it. It's a Rubbermaid three-part fold-up desk.
That's great.
And so we were working there, and Nathan and I really decided that we wanted to take things to the next level. That's why we joined and formed Talo Gray. Time went on. We ended up doing some work. We did a variety of different projects, but we started doing a lot of work with a gentleman who had left another large digital marketing agency and gone on his own. And we started being the creative service. We started being the technical back end to his creative.
Oh, that's a good combination.
His name is Brian Christoph.
Okay.
So beginning of 2013, we made it official. We'd been dating for about a year and a half, pretty much. Our staff was working with his staff was working with our staff, and we merged the two agencies. And so it's really been a sort of, it's been a roll-up, really, of three agencies into one. And that's why we have so many long-term customers, even though we're only about 3.5, 4 years
old. And you have, like, 19 people on staff.
We have 19 people now, yeah.
And a dog.
We have a dog. We actually are pretty dog-friendly, so we had a couple dogs in there today. Actually, I think we might have had more dogs than people because of all the sickness going around. Pretty much everyone took today off, it seems like. But it's a great team. It's a good combination of sort of nerdy programmer people like me, creative people. We have creative service people. We've been lucky to get a lot of people who have moved here because of their spouse's jobs.
Sure.
So we have one of our lead project manager worked in New York prior to here at a firm that was on Mad Men.
oh dear!
And worked on a large corporate work for big, huge brands. We never would have been able to afford to attract someone with that much talent to little old Wilmington. But when they move here because their husband is a Marine officer and they're looking for a job, we were a perfect fit. So we've been that situation has repeated itself with a lot of our staff, and we've been very lucky that people want to live here and they're willing to come to a small agency like ours from a place like New York City.
19 isn't terribly small these days. That's actually a reasonable sized agency.
Well, I mean, compared to where
compared to New York.
New York, we have another project manager from DC who came from a 400 person agency.
Right.
I mean, and it's really wonderful to have people with that level of expertise and who have been trained so well by others, which is a nice thing. We haven't had to do a lot of training, but we started hiring some younger people. We hired three college graduates, one from UNCW and two from Kent State. The two from Kent State moved to Wilmington without jobs and just wanted to be here. So we've been very lucky to utilize the quality of place here as a recruiting tool and not have to try and track people down across the country.
So take a little of the mystery out for some of the listeners. What does a creative services agency do?
Okay, so there's really sort of two components to any marketing project, right? So there's the execution, like I need you to draw a picture and make it into a website and program the back end, right? So execution is an important part. The mm-hmm. creative services is really the concepting, the project management, which is a huge part as your projects Absolutely. Get bigger, and the general interaction with third party vendors that you're working for. So that's really what that portion of the business is. The execution part, which is programming, designing, moving pixels and code around, that's a critical component. So right. we've been very lucky to work with some other really nice digital agencies in other parts of the country because our execution team is very strong. Like, so we worked with an agency in New York on Carolyn Manzo's website, which has been really fun, Real Housewife of New Jersey, mm-hmm. on Run DMC's website, pretty much the preeminent rap group founder, right. you know, one of the first rap groups, especially that's still around today, and also in some other projects for other large brands that we wouldn't necessarily be able to attract. So our execution team is really strong, and then our creative services team continues to, you know, build out those projects, working yeah. for like Duke Energy and KOA, Campgrounds of America.
Yeah, I was going to say, so is it mostly consumer-facing projects?
I would say consumer-facing, I mean, we work with some banks that are, I guess, B2C.
Sure.
A lot of retail things. Yeah, retail yeah. stuff, manufacturers. Really, like, we have a good agency partner in Asheville that brings us a lot of outdoor industry clients. That's B2B. I mean, that's B2C stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's really a wide range of stuff. We've done a couple of bed bug detection dog websites. I don't know what you call it. I think that's B2C. So.
Well, it could be B2B.
B2B,
I mean, if
I
they're
know.
Selling into hotels,
selling
I suppose.
Hotels, so, so
seriously, this is
yeah,
real.
Yeah, I mean, it, what happened, it's interesting. And the most interesting part of our business was the two-year period where we were building some of the largest coupon and money-saving blog websites in the
yeah.
country. That was an interesting ride. We were just attracting clients from all over the country. All these saving themes,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
extreme couponing was going on. So we're really, I mean, we have this, we're just constantly looking for new clients and new industries and have not really pigeonholed ourselves into one specific type of business.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's important for long-term and growth.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, you do a lot of website work. Do you also do like the other sort of email marketing?
Do email marketing. Sort of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, email marketing is a big part of our business. We have a client that does daily emails.
Oh, good.
We're doing a lot more of the marketing automation work.
Good.
Building like drip campaigns
sure.
using the various platforms. We work with about four different of those drip campaign platforms. We actually have a really great print brokering business to kind of go old school.
Oh, good.
Buying postcards and business cards and mm-hmm. koozies and, you know, we just recently
tchotchkes.
Well, you'd be surprised. I mean, even the most complicated digital campaign, like one we're running for a client right now, still requires a fair amount of paper backup for direct mail.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sourcing that for people. Really, I sort of tell people we do everything except for come to your office and fix your broken computer.
Take that off the list
because that's just something that, you know, is not that enjoyable.
It isn't a whole lot of fun.
No.
But your background is more on the technology end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've always been involved with computers since I was a little kid. Ended up going to UNC Chapel Hill and went in the journalism department because I could use computers. And I've been using Photoshop since I was I don't know, 6 years old. I mean, seriously, I grew up on a prep school campus, and we had Apple computers everywhere,
right.
and Avil. So went into journalism school, started a software company in college, raised some venture capital for that, started another software company. It didn't succeed. So I've always realized that it was, you know, an easier way to make money as an entrepreneur with computers than it
yeah.
was to, you know, than anything else that I knew how to do. So I'm sort of pigeonholed, but luckily for me, computers are popular and the internet is growing.
And
so
they do sort of facilitate the next generation
yeah.
of marketing,
mm-hmm.
if you will. So marketing has changed, obviously, since I started being in this business, oh my goodness, a long time ago. You know, I think our big use of computers was databases and contact management systems. And that was, you know, when I remember when the web actually became the web, and it had just been really just CompuServe for email, things like that. But now it is everything. The internet is everything you do. It touches everything. The Internet of Things becomes really critical. How do you see those major changes impacting day-to-day business for you and for your customers?
Well, I think the biggest thing that's happening is the I don't know if this is a word, the defreeing of the internet, right? So Google SEO used to be free, right? You'd show up on Google. Now you have to pretty much pay.
Exactly.
Streaming Netflix used to be free for Netflix. Now with net neutrality going away, big players are going to have to pay. Right. Facebook used to be able to just put something on your Facebook page and it would go to 100% of your fans. Mm-hmm. Now you have to pay.
Right.
What it really is it's becoming, and so when you execute something online, your return on your investment, is impacted. So it's not like you can just post a bunch of stuff on Twitter, or Twitter's still free, but you can't just post a bunch of stuff on Facebook and expect that you're going to get a return, because now if you really want to get the reach, you have to pay.
Right.
So you can't just stream things. And the price of a lot of these things are coming down. But so in order to make business decisions and marketing decisions, you need to really make sure you look at the costs now. And those costs are starting to kind of ramp up a little bit. So I think that's really the biggest change that I see coming in like the 5 to 10 year period.
Mm-hmm.
So in the short run, I think people are getting a lot more social. They're getting a lot more narrowcasted at. They're getting much more accustomed to remarketing and other technologies that are showing them the ads that they want to see.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest sort of short term, is that people are becoming more comfortable with the fact that the advertising that follows them around is targeted at them. They're not as creeped out by targeted advertising mm-hmm. anymore.
And when you're actually developing websites, are there new trends in website development and things people need to be considering in terms of mobile?
Well, I think anyone that doesn't build a website that works on mobile is basically shooting themselves in the foot, cutting their knees off. I would say that people are getting more towards getting to the data quickly.
Right.
People don't like as many words.
Right.
They like bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
I really see a trend of these big headers kind of shrinking down a little bit and kind of pushing the data back to the top of the page.
Mm.
But I think responsive websites where the information reformats based on the platform that it's on, whether it's a tablet or a mobile device or a iPhone or a Wii or whatever you're browsing the internet on, HDTV. I mean, all of those platforms need a different way to display the data. So we're kind of in this weird browser war time of the early late 90s when you had to worry about what browser you were on.
Exactly.
Now it's like you have to worry about what size device you're mm-hmm. on and how and whether the person has touchscreen capabilities.
Right.
So, I think that's a something that you always have to stay on top of.
Do you think we're going to be seeing different information served on different devices?
I would say so. I mean, I think like a really common thing that we do is if you go to a website on a mobile phone, the phone number is at the top of the page in big numbers. I mean, everyone should always have your phone number prominently put on the top of the page. But I mean, really, if I go to something on a mobile phone, it's probably because I'm trying to figure out where it is. So I should have a map and a number really prominently displayed. So I think those sort of things, location aware stuff, mm-hmm. this iBeacon short range Bluetooth stuff.
Yeah, I was wondering how you were feeling about iBeacon stuff.
You know, I messed around with it a little bit. I haven't really developed anything. A friend of mine whose mobile shop is like, 100 yards from here, mm-hmm. has been doing some stuff with it. And I think that's going to be pretty neat stuff. I mean,
I think we'll see some applications for that coming up pretty quickly here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of Wilmington.
Yeah, I think there's some people pushing some stuff out in Wilmington.
Yeah,
so.
It sounds really cool. So is that the big thing you're looking forward to? Any new technologies that you're excited about?
Let's see. I think the technologies that I'm most excited about is just an improved battery life.
Mm.
I mean,
from your mouth to God's
ears.
I
mean, it's just like. And I can't tell you. I mean, it's like the battery life. I mean, that's the thing that's stopping all of the development. And I feel like, you know, it's like you get so used to your phone, and then your phone's not working, and you've got this laptop, and then your laptop's not working, and it's just.
Then you go to your tablet.
And your tablet.
This is what I do. I just juggle devices depending on which battery's working.
I think what I probably need is just like a little portable foot stepper with a.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And then I could just.
There's one of those over at UNCW CIE, isn't there?
Well, yeah, well,
I mean, instead of just circulation, maybe we could get energy out of this.
A good Wilmington company, T2 Healthcare, makes this foot treadle, right? They're a client of ours. We've done a lot of, we do all their, a bunch of marketing for them. The only problem is when you treadle away, the energy that you produce just gets thrown away.
I know.
It's not charging your cell phone.
My daughter has always said, all that energy at the gym, you know, all those people on those elliptical machines, man, we should be capturing that and reusing it. Oh, dear. But,
yeah, so hopefully they'll have a USB plug to their device someday.
Wouldn't that be fun?
So you can charge it up.
Self-powered. I love it. Well, this has been great. So what if somebody actually does need some refresh in terms of their digital footprint? How can they get in touch with you?
All right. Well, so our website is tg-k.com. Taylor Gray Christoph. So it's tg-k. We would love to get the three-digit. It's available, but... they won't tell us how much, so I assume it's like
a million or more.
$1 million. Yeah, so someday soon we'll buy it, but yeah, tg-k.com. So.
And those of you who are Googling this, it's not Taylor,
it's Taylor with an E.
There you go. Great, super. All right, now to another underpinning of what's going on here for growth in Wilmington. Obviously, we've got marketing taken care of on this side. We're going to scoot over to employees and talk to Alexis and Sherry. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, nerves all settled now, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. All right. I got to know, first of all, you're a pretty new company, aren't you?
We are very new. We will celebrate our first year in business this May.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you guys come into this idea of starting the business?
Well, Alexis has been in the staffing industry for over 25 years.
Ah.
She started when she was, what, 10?
Yes, absolutely, 3.
And over 10 years here in Wilmington. And she has always had the dream to own her own staffing firm. So last spring, the stars aligned and everything kind of fell into place. And so we opened our doors. We joined forces with a third partner, Elisa Odie, and opened our doors on May 15th, 2013.
Wow.
And it's been a roller coaster ride, but our lights are still on and it's been great.
Well, congratulations. That first year is the tough one. That's what they say. I don't know. I think it's the 28th year. I think that's what's going on here. So tell me about Seco Staffing.
Well, there's three of us involved. Sherry, who you just spoke, she handles a lot more of our marketing, our blogging, our website. Mm-hmm. The information that we just heard is always so interesting because it's always changing, and Sherry's been wonderful about keeping us in the forefront. Myself, I handle all the recruiting, dealing with the clients, dealing with the candidates constantly. It's a constant effort to try to recruit candidates and clients in the area. And then Elise, who's the third person in our group, she handles all of our HR, all of our compliance, payroll, all of the things that keep us sort of operations that sort of keep us afloat. So the three of us really bring different areas of expertise to Seacoast, and it's really been great because although we all do sort of everybody does everybody's job, we all sort of have a specialty, and it's been really nice. We have different sets of clients that we recruit for.
Well, talk about that a little bit. What kinds of companies do you work with?
We work with a variety. As you know, Wilmington is sort of a mush pot of businesses, and most of our businesses tend to be the smaller businesses, the 2 to 20 person businesses, and we do everything. We do temporary project work, whether it be I need a vacation coverage or I've got a project that we need to get out in the next 2 weeks. I do temp to hire. I would say probably 90% of my business is temp to hire, which is I need to bring on somebody. We do know that we're going to need to have, whether it be a receptionist or an admin or whatever it is. I don't have the time right now, Alexis, to go through the thousands of resumes that come in. So I'm going to give you the job description and you find somebody for me. We send the person, 4 or 5 resumes to choose from. They interview and they're able to keep that person on their payroll for 90 days, 480 hours, and then take that person on full time. And then I also do direct hire, and that's really more of my senior positions. If I'm looking for a director of HR or a CFO or whatever it is, they will then just pay a fee. So we do all different types.
And how do you find your employees?
You know, That's the million dollar
the
question.
Magic. Is this the magic?
This is the magic. Exactly. Contrary to belief, I do not have a machine in the back that pumps them out. I don't. You know, I would say a majority.
I'm thinking about wizard hats. I know, exactly. I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't happen. I know people think that, but it doesn't. You know, I would say the majority of my candidates come from referrals. And I am so lucky that good people refer good people. And that's probably, I would say, a good portion of my people do. Mm-hmm. We do all the recruiting, Indeed, Monster, even Craigslist. We do recruit other ways. LinkedIn has been huge for my business.
I would assume that those things are critical from the potential employee's perspective, because they don't know they probably don't know about Seco Staffing. So they're not going to necessarily proactively send you a resume to say, mm-hmm. any chance you've got a part-time position for somebody to fill boxes with some, you know.
Right. Exactly. So that is definitely huge for us. LinkedIn has been a big part of my recruiting.
Tell me about that. How do you use LinkedIn?
A myriad of ways, you know, as we used to call it in the business, we used to call it headhunting. Now we call it passive recruiting. And so, you know, going in and introducing yourself, asking for referrals on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. going in, I know Sherry Porter. I see that in her connections are, you know, Joe, and I want to meet Joe, so I'll ask for an introduction, sure. and then Sherry would introduce. So it's sort of that type of way. Posting ads on LinkedIn, you know, you're kind of meeting the candidates that aren't actively searching, but they are searching kind of in one way or another. So mm-hmm. LinkedIn is great. But again, referrals are really huge here, especially in Wilmington. Wilmington is such a wonderful little network, and people know people. And inevitably, somebody will know somebody looking for a job. Everybody tends to know somebody looking for a job. So
right. So yeah. You spend most of your time out networking.
A lot of time.
Both of you.
Mm-hmm. We do. We do.
We do indeed.
And for candidates and clients, for both.
So sure. Yes. Absolutely. Where do you see the biggest growth happening right now in terms of your business, the kinds of jobs that you're finding?
You know, a lot of our business right now, because of the season, is in the event business. We've got a lot right now. We work with several of the country clubs in town mm-hmm. looking for, you know, we tend to have a lot of seasonal business. So I'm looking for the wait staff and the bartenders and that type of thing. So
wow, you even handle that level.
Yes, absolutely. Everything.
We do a lot of that business.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So you're not just looking for a director of marketing.
Mm-mm. Nope. Although we do, we will, and we do, but no, it's sort of a little bit of everything. You know, Wilmington is really, it's a great place, and it's got lots of different types of business and things. And so we recruit for it all.
You must have a lot of people who are really interested in moving to Wilmington for jobs. Do
yes.
you get that a
we
lot?
We do. We get calls daily. From
How do you
people
screen
the
these
area?
People when they're not even here yet?
It's funny. People will call and they'll say, we vacationed in Wilmington and we loved it and we want to move there. So what's the job market like? So a lot of it is sort of, you know, let me educate you on what we have and what's available. And this is the type of salaries that we have and things. And a lot of times we just, you know, when people move to Wilmington, it's usually for a lifestyle change. People right. want to move here. They either vacationed here and they love it. They are relocating here because their husbands are relocating and they know that they've researched the market and they know what the job market's like. And, mm-hmm. you know, because we have a lot of service oriented businesses and not a lot of big businesses yet. I say, because I think people.
We're all working on that one.
We are, absolutely. You know, they.
You know, we're going to have a big radio station someday soon, right?
Yes, that's our Radio X. So we get a lot of those phone calls and a lot of people that do want to change their lives and want to come to Wilmington and are looking for jobs. And like it was said earlier, how lucky are we that we get these people that come with these fantastic backgrounds and they want to move to our beautiful city?
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, the employers get this wonderful candidate that yeah. has all this experience.
So with vast experience.
Vast experience. I mean, you know,
big to corporate clients.
Yes, right. Exactly.
And it's really quite interesting. We had a journalist on a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. She wrote an article for a publication called Exit Event out of Raleigh. And her headline was something along the lines of, don't underestimate Wilmington.
Oh, yeah.
There's
definitely.
A lot going on here, entrepreneurially speaking. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she mentioned is that she has heard a quote that people who are B-type personalities all retire in Asheville. And it's all the A-type personalities who retire in Wilmington.
Isn't that interesting?
I find very interesting because most of the A-types are retiring younger, which means they're going to have career number two or three. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of talent here that we can develop. And I'm wondering if you ever bump into the entrepreneurial companies that are coming along and how they might be able to utilize your services.
Yes, we do. We've we're working with several right now that have come recently into Wilmington and are just exploding. And a lot of it is I've seen a lot of temporary help where they need, you know, I've got this product that we need to get out. So we're looking for that. And then also we need some help. We're in the startup mode. We've, you know, it's just myself and a partner and we need a part-time person, but it's going to eventually grow.
Right.
And that's, and so, and you know, Wilmington has that ability to be able to have these great people that have this background that yes, I can be part of this startup because this is where I came from. And this is what I can add. Yes.
Sure. Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you give somebody who's looking for a job, especially people who move here because they want to live here? Mm-hmm. Again, a lifestyle place, but they want to work.
And right.
They don't want to work. They probably have to work.
Right.
And they don't really want to go back to pumping gas again. Mm-hmm. Oh, is that even a job anymore? It used to be a job.
Oh, definitely.
Y'all.
I don't think it is in Wilmington.
I don't think it is a job anymore. But at any rate, they're looking for full employment,
right,
if you will. What
right.
do you say to people like that?
I tell people there's three ways to find jobs in Wilmington, and it's network with everybody you meet because inevitably somebody knows somebody who's looking for a job or is looking for somebody. Definitely hit the job boards because we do have a lot of small employers here that are looking for people and they, you know, want to recruit on their own or whatever it is. And definitely hit the staffing services. I think that's very important. The staffing services here in Wilmington are great. And, you know, my competitors out there, we all do a great job. And I think that we all just have different pieces of the puzzle, different pieces of the pie. And there's, you know, just because you're registered with one staffing service doesn't mean that you're owned by that staffing service. And we all just, again, have different clients. And that's the advice I give to people is when they're coming in here. And realize that when you're coming into Wilmington, we don't have a lot of the larger businesses. We have a lot of the smaller businesses, a lot of the service-oriented businesses. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the receptionist is also the office manager who also does the payroll, that also does cleaning the bathrooms and does all those types of things.
And that is what we have today. But boy, when I was at that breakfast this morning, the power breakfast that the Greater Wilmington Business Journal put on this morning, I was really excited to talk to at least three or four different people that were involved in chemical businesses and a new plant being built over in the Leland side of the river, and people being involved in plastics and aeronautics. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of really high-end things that are starting to really develop in
Wilmington.
Isn't
that exciting?
It is really exciting.
It's so exciting. We have just a gem of a city here. And, you know, it's exciting to be on the employment side of it, to see the growth and to see the companies that are merging, the smaller companies that are coming up and growing from two people to 19 or from, you know, two people where we were or two to three people where we were and growing where we are today. I mean, it's because of the city and what it offers. So we're excited.
What would you say to the businesses who are thinking, I really need to add a person, but I just don't know for sure if I can afford to do this right now?
They need to call Alexis Hines.
At Seacoast Staffing.
Exactly. And my phone number's at the top of the website.
910.
That they can get on their phone. No, 910. Call us. And we because we are
you
a small
can finish
business,
that phrase right?
910-791-3000.
It says the marketing That's person,
right? Exactly. Exactly. And I can work with anybody, and I can work with and let's talk about what type of things you're looking for. Tell me about the kind of person that you are. I think what I feel that we do really, really well is we listen and we service our clients. And if I can't find you somebody, I'll tell you and I'll find out what you're looking for and let's work together because it is a partnership. I want my clients to be happy as well as my candidates.
Right. That's great. Well, again, okay, give us your website.
www.seacoaststaffinginc.com.
That's INC.
That's great.
910-791-3000.
Thanks, you guys, for being on the show
today.
Thank
you for having us.
It
was really fun.
Thank you, Alexis.
I wasn't as nervous as I thought.
And Andrew, thank you so much for coming on board.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And until next time, this is Anne Ravel-Petcher for Wilmington Business Radio.